Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we're in the Quicken Loans studios in New York. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Get your rocking mortgage on, son. CBS, the Super Bowl season continues this Sunday when Denver goes to Baltimore. Oakland meets Miami. Buffalo heads to Minny. Cincy collides with Carolina. Tennessee takes on Jacksonville. And in the City of Angels, the Chargers clash with the Rams. The day kicks off with the NFL today, presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern on CBS. So Thursday, there's college football. Friday, three big games, including Penn State playing UCF and FAU and then USC. They all play Friday night. Then you got Jets-Browns Thursday night. There's so much going on. You got to be on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Killing it, hitting the picks, as usual. Baseball, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy, all the football, college, and pro. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget a new episode of Pharrell on the Bets on Westwood One. Drops tomorrow morning at 6:30 Eastern. Subscribe free and follow us on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, or boat insurance? Get it all at Geico.com. Tyson Alger covers the Oregon Ducks for The Athletic in lovely Eugene, Oregon, where on Saturday there's a huge game. I think one of the best games of the day. Stanford, overrated, and Oregon. And Mario Cristobal, the Ducks, looking like their old selves again. Tyson, thanks for coming on the bench. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So, my pleasure. So how do you like Mario Cristobal? I've seen him coach, obviously, in Florida and, most recently at FIU. How do they like him in Eugene?
They really like him, especially after the way that Willie Taggart left Eugene. You know, a guy that came here kind of for a year as a mercenary and ditched town as soon as possible. By all accounts so far, Cristobal's a guy that loves it here in Eugene, and he's really transforming this Oregon team from kind of that flashy, fast-paced offense type of team that you saw in kind of the late 2000s and the earlier part of this decade, and turning them more into a team that resembles the team that they're going to be facing in Stanford, a physical team that's kind of built on power running and heavy tight end sets and all that stuff. So it's a bit of a transformation here in Oregon because they're used to kind of like the flash and pizzazz, but I think people are definitely on board with the Cristobal era as it's going right now. I mean, it's easy to support a new head coach when you're 3-0 and college game day is coming to town, but it definitely gets real for the Ducks going forward here beginning on Saturday.
Yeah, so tell me about how do people – like, so Taggart left and ran with his tail tucked back to Tallahassee, where I'm sure the Duck fans are enjoying watching them melt down. They could barely beat Samford. And then, I mean, they have literally been getting their ass handed to them. I mean, the Cuse game was embarrassing. So they went up to Syracuse and looked just atrocious. That must make Duck fans pretty happy. Like, what was the fallout of that guy being there for 1 year and then bolting like that? They must think he's a piece of nothing.
Yeah, he's not highly regarded in this area. And it's kind of funny because, I mean, ultimately, Oregon, I do think, is better because of the year that Taggart was here. He really rejuvenated them on the recruiting trail, got rid of some of the kind of overlapping bad blood that ended in the Mark Helfrich era. So, I mean, I think Oregon was better for that, but Oregon and Oregon fans consider themselves to be, you know, one of the preeminent programs in the country, and they just didn't like the concept of a guy with a career losing record coming into Eugene, using it as a stepping stone and taking off. And so, you know, the program was in disarray for about that 2 week period when it was the will he, won't he, kind of leading into him leaving and Mario Cristobal being promoted before the Las Vegas Bowl. But so that was a bit of a mess, but since then they've really kind of reconstructed, and I know Oregon fans have been enjoying this 3-0 start, but it's Willie Taggart's start in Tallahassee has certainly not been a quiet topic around here. I think Oregon fans are really getting a kind of a kick out of that, whether or not Taggart actually helps here or not.
So I had San Jose State in the 41 points or whatever on Saturday, and they covered easily. So you've been beating crappy teams, Bowling Green, Portland State, and San Jose State. So will the real Oregon Ducks show up on Saturday at Outson Stadium against Stanford, or are we going to see a team that's just a poser because they've been playing all these crappy teams?
Right. That's a good question, because it's really hard to gauge just how much different they are this year from last year, just because they haven't played anybody worth mentioning. I mean, I think the combined record of the three teams that they played was, I think they won three games a season ago. So there's just no, they've had a talent advantage, a personnel advantage. And they did look a little sloppy in that win over San Jose State. They only averaged 2.7 yards per carry. And Justin Herbert, who is their potential first round draft pick, he was off and all sorts of things. So that was a little concerning if you're an Oregon fan. But then again, if you are playing three cupcakes in a row, at some point, you know, you would expect these guys to lose a little bit of focus. But, you know, this is a Stanford team that I do think is a little bit overvalued at their current number nine position or whatever they are. That win over USC looked a lot better that day than it did a week later, because USC has looked really bad since then. But Stanford's played at least two decent games so far, and Oregon hasn't played any. So you're going to find out real quick in that first quarter whether or not the Ducks are ready for this game or not.
Yeah, I think Stanford is ready for the game based on who they've played already. They've already shown they can play at a high level. Oregon hasn't done that yet. When you struggle with San Jose State, like one of the worst, I mean, I hate to say it, but they're like one of the worst football programs ever. And I mean, that's just all there is to it. Tell me how you think Johnny Johnson III is playing. He seems to be catching a lot of passes and scoring touchdowns for me. He had a couple of them against the Spartans.
Yeah, he's been one of the one receivers that Herbert's actually been able to develop a little bit of chemistry with. That was the big question for this team coming into the season, where you have an absolute top-rate quarterback, but you didn't know who was going to catch his passes. And they did have a graduate transfer coming over from Wake Forest, Tabari Hines, that they expected a lot out of, but he was banged up in camp. And so Johnson, who kind of came onto the scene last year and had his ups and downs, he's really kind of developed as Herbert's main guy so far. But overall, this receiving core, they've dropped a lot of passes. In that first half against San Jose State, I think out of the eight passes Herbert completed, only one of them was to a wide receiver. Right now, he's a little bit more comfortable with his tight ends and checking down to running backs than some of those receivers. But Johnson stepped up later in that game, and he's one of Oregon's only receivers that has any sort of size. I mean, Oregon's running out a bunch of 5'8", 5'9" guys out there. Johnson, I think, is 6'1", 6'2". He's fast, talented. If that connection between him and Herbert flourishes the rest of the way, that's going to be a really big development for Oregon going forward.
So I don't want to sound like a bummer or anything, because I like the Ducks, and I always have, and I love being on in Eugene. Great fans, great program, great stadium. The whole thing is just kick-ass. I'm a huge fan. But I got to tell you, Justin Herbert, for me, you know, he's supposed to be a top first-round draft pick, right, and a high pick. From what I'm hearing, he's one of the guys the NFL teams are all looking at. And I got to tell you that against those three cupcakes, 56% of his passes, to me, is anemic. Now, I know he's got 12 TDs. I'll give him that, and God bless him, and the four picks. And it's really not that big of a deal. But do you really think that a guy that's that good, he's supposed to be that good, that he can't do better than 56% against a bunch of hacks? I mean, honestly, he should be throwing 70% of his passes, in my opinion, when you're playing crappy teams.
I really agree with you there. I do think it's more indicative of his receivers than Herbert's overall talent. If you go back to that Bowling Green game, Herbert's first three or four passes were all dropped. He hit guys right in the numbers, and guys just couldn't hang on to it. His first big pass he did hit was a 4th-and-14 where he dropped it over three defender shoulders and right into the arms of Jalen Redd in the end zone. So he has been inconsistent at times. He does force some throws, but I wouldn't go out of the way to compare it to what Josh Allen was working with at Wyoming last year. But right now he just hasn't had any guys helping him out, and that even goes down to throws that maybe they're not the best throws in the world, but you would expect guys to make those catches. I mean, the last time Oregon had a quarterback, you know, at this level, you can go back to Vernon Adams or Marcus Mariota. They had receivers that, you know, maybe not nationally known, but were able to make tough catches like that. And that's something that we still need to see Oregon do going forward.
So let me ask you, in that conference, because I watch a lot of the games, we all know Stanford and Washington, pretty obvious, are the two best teams. And, you know, I'm interested in seeing what Washington State does at the Coliseum on Friday night against USC. USC got their ass beat last week, and I'm starting, you know, to wonder about them and, like, how much time JT Daniels is going to need to, you know, make them winners again, to be honest with you. When you look at the conference and you saw what Washington did, I took Washington last week. It was my number one play in all of college football to take them to Rice-Eccles in a packed house in Salt Lake and win that game. I thought it was a tough ordeal. They got it done. They beat them, whatever, 20-21-7, whatever it was. But do you feel that there's anything in the conference that I'm missing, or is it Stanford and Washington? And frankly, I think Washington's the best team. And I looked at the playoff predictors and chances of, like, alleged computer chances of making it to the playoff, and they're still top five in the nation for a shot at making the playoff, Washington.
Yeah, I think Washington is far and away the class of this conference right now. You know, I do like, you know, the start that Stanford got, and obviously we don't quite know what we have with Oregon yet, but you know, the Pac-12 is very north heavy right now with those three teams, and the South is frankly just a bit of a mess. I mean, USC was supposed to be the favorite down there, and they can't run the football right now, and the quarterback's having issues. going into last week, Arizona State was the talk of the conference, and then they end up losing on that crazy last play, you know, Pac-12 after dark style. But I wouldn't expect them to be able to sustain what they've been able to do. And then, you know, the conference's other premier player down at Arizona, the quarterback there. I mean, he's all of a sudden forgot how to run the football, and that was what he was so electric at. So I think Washington's in a completely different tier than anyone else. I think Oregon and Stanford are next. And, you know, in the South, I mean, if Utah ever could develop an offense, they'd be a great team. But they're always that team that seems like they're like one quarterback or one running back away from being in contention. But that's been about 10 years now for them in this Pac-12.
So you have five road games the rest of the way, and to me that's brutal. I mean, that's like your whole season. You're going to play Washington at home on October 13th, but then you have Cal Road, Washington State, Arizona, Utah, and Oregon State all road. And the only game to me that I think of that entire slot that looks easy to me is the Beaver game at the end of the season, November 23rd. Would you disagree that that's a brutal schedule for them?
I do think that that is a tough road slate, but I mean, at the same time, them being able to get Washington at home, being able to get UCLA at home and USC at home helps them a lot. But Rice-Eccles is an awfully tough place to play, especially, you know, especially if that ends up being a night game. Weird things happen late night against Cal, and that game's kicking off at 7:35 Western time here. You know, the last time I think that went into double overtime, and Justin Herbert threw a game-ending interception in that one. The Palouse is hard to go play on. I mean, it's certainly a schedule that doesn't help them out in terms of like the ease of those road games. But being able to get Washington and UCLA and those teams at home, I think has been a big boon. But I mean, talking schedule overall, I mean, Oregon has no room to complain after the three games that it's played so far this season.
So they got lucky. They don't have to play USC at home or road, and they don't have to play Colorado, so that's a benefit to them. Let me ask you, if you look at this team and you see them getting one as a home dog on Saturday against Stanford, do you think they win the game and get it done, or do you say they lose?
I think they're taking this one. I haven't been all that impressed with Stanford's offense, and I do think if things are clicking for Oregon, I just don't know if Stanford has the dogs to compete with them if the game gets into the 20s or 30s there. So don't want to be a homer here, but I do think Oregon is going to be able to put up that many points against them, and I don't think Stanford can hang.
All right, well, that should be an awesome game at Autzen on Saturday. We'll catch up with you later in the season and see how the Ducks are doing. My man Tyson Alger, thanks for coming on the bench from The Athletic out in Eugene.
Hey, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
My man Tyson Alger out in Oregon at The Athletic, covering the Ducks in Eugene. Big game at Autzen on Saturday, 855-212-4CBS. I'm watching a great matchup with Kershaw and Freeland right now at Dodger Stadium. Still tied at ones in the fourth.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
The Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Yasiel Puig of the Dodgers. He hit .429 with five homers, helped the Dodgers surge back into first place in the NL West. Puig getting involved. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. So I was at the gym the other day, Carver High, and I was walking around the corner from the this activities desk that they have where people go and complain about things and such. And I looked on the ground, and there was all these boxes, and they were being, you know, delivered by whatever, the UPS guy or whatever, right? There was like a ton of them. And I looked down, and the first thing I saw was a bunch of boxes from Grainger. And I was like, I know Grainger. They're the ones that keep your facility running. That's what I said. And the lady looked at me like, what's wrong with you, man? And I was like, what's up? And she was like, what up? And I was like, what's up? Some stuff almost happened right there. Because, you know,
the ones who get it done.
They're the ones who get it done. And then, like, Pharrell gets it done. You know I got the goods. So there you go. I'm watching the A's and Angels as well. Bases loaded, bottom four for the A's. And how about Matt Olson, 27 home runs this year. But how about Chris Davis? Three straight 40-plus home run seasons. Can you believe that?
Before this year, nobody knew it.
I think somebody, I think it was Jimmy Fox or something is the last guy to do it. And like back in the day with the Philadelphia A's, right? Does that make sense?
For the A's franchise?
I guess.
It's weird. So in the late 80s, Canseco and McGuire never did that? Wow.
Three straight 40 home run seasons.
I guess it's possible.
It is. I saw it tonight when a guy was up. And he is something else. He just stands there and takes massive cuts.
Yeah, and he whacks away.
He takes some serious cuts at it. And look at this guy holding the bat. Have you seen this guy? Are you watching this game?
I am.
See how this guy bats with the bat hanging over the plate like that? Have you ever seen anyone hold a bat like that?
It's very bizarre.
It really is. But he's got 27 dingers.
They got a lot of guys who can mash. I mean, that's...
Do you think chicks still dig dingers?
Yes.
Or just Dolly Madison's?
They dig the long ball.
Long ball. Do you think that chicks fell in love with Big Al at the Little League World Series, the kid that hits dingers? No?
I don't know who that is.
You know, I don't know who that is.
Remember, I don't watch anything that involves that
Little League.
Terrible, terrible programming that they do.
It's terrible programming, but you don't think it's a good thing for the kids to be able to play in the Little League World Series?
It is. They should all enjoy it over in Williamsport, but
and no TV.
Not on television.
They make way too much out of that.
They sure do.
And turn it into like the NCAA tournament.
Put the final on TV. That's it. All those kids and their families should all have fun in Williamsport without the pressure of the television. Just the final. Should all the
Oh, but they take advantage of the television. They all become stars and celebrities that you never remember. The only ones they ever talk about are the ones that make it to the majors, right? The kids that make it to the majors. Then they say he was in the Little League World Series when he was just a little tyke. So there you go. Now, going back to some of our topics with our guests, do you think that Tomlin should suspend Antonio Brown for not showing up for work on Monday with all the lying that's been going on with, obviously, Drew Rosenhaus and Brown and everybody else? He just didn't show up for work. I don't care what anybody says. You don't show up for work, it's just a bad day, right? You always have to, like... They don't even believe you when you call them and say you're sick, let alone if you don't call them and then just don't show up. And then we all saw him have his meltdown. Are you buying any of that? But there's no way they're going to suspend him. Tomlin doesn't have the onions.
I don't believe that he had somewhere to be or anything like that because, like Ron said, that would have been a simple thing for Tomlin to say this was a scheduled thing and we gave him the day off. He had to go take care of something. And I do not believe at all that Tomlin would ever suspend him. He doesn't have the stones to do it. He never does it to his players, and he's not he's a player's coach, and he doesn't take a hard stance like that ever with his guys.
So I saw this story, and I couldn't help but, and I mentioned it to Baskin, that a guy, I think I did, that a guy said he won't catch 20 passes.
Yeah, that's silly.
In the you know, while he's in New England playing for Brady. Now, if I know Brady, is that anyone that's a great receiver like Moss or whoever he's had, if he has a great receiver— I mean, forget it. They'll catch seven passes a week.
But here's what...
The guy plays in four games, he'll do it.
Yeah, but the guy has to know what he's doing, okay? Brady will give that guy the ball nonstop.
Are you telling me Josh Gordon doesn't know how to play wide receiver?
I'm just telling you, you know how New England runs things. He's got to learn the routes. He's got to know where he's got to be. You watch all those silly videos with Tom and those guys out in the farm on the Tom versus Time. He's got them running routes out there. He needs to know where he's got to be. And if Josh Gordon does that, Tom's going to give him the ball. But Josh has to go and know where he's got to be.
So you think he's going to go freelance?
I'm not saying he's going to. A lot of people
he's gonna go renegade
roots. I'm not saying he's going to do that. I think he's going to be he's already diving in. He's going to do it because he knows the opportunity he
has. Right.
What I'm saying is if he doesn't do it, he ain't going to get the ball because that's not how it works in New England. But there's plenty of guys when they walk through that door up there, they change their tune and all of a sudden they follow the rules.
So we'll come back and we'll ask Carver High some questions about the Jaguars. Are they the team to beat now in the AFC since they beat the Pats? And is Deshaun Watson overrated? And Pat Mahomes, is he the MVP right now? And then does he think the Bengals and Broncos are for real? We'll do all that on the bench. We're rocking tonight. Call the show, you femmes. Let's get it. We'll open up the phone lines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Yeah, Metallica, you wanna get heavy? So the A's took a 4-1 lead in that game over the Angels. Speaking of throwing in the towel, the Angels, there's a lot of teams that are just tossing games now every night.
The inning before that, they had guys on base, they hit a ball in the gap, Upton can't score from first, total disgrace. I mean, play better baseball.
What do you think of Blake Snell tonight winning in his 20th game with a 1.97 ERA? Cy Young, no one even won 19 games last year.
Yeah, that's very impressive for him. And, you know, he's in the American League where there's not a lot of other really convincing candidates.
So Snell and DeGrom get the Cy Youngs?
You know me. I'm not going to give it to DeGrom right now. You know, I'm not there. I get it. He's got a 1.78 ERA. Guy's got 8 wins. He's 8-9. I understand he plays
so
for
you,
a
you're not
going to
give him the Cy Young with that ERA.
Can the guy get to double-digit wins? Can he win his last two games? Can the guy get to 10 wins? Please. I'm sorry.
So if he doesn't win 10 games, you're going to give it to who?
I can't give it to a guy who's I'll give it to Nola or Scherzer before I'd give it to him. I can't give it to him. He's 8-9.
So do you think that the let me talk about this guy here, Ryan in Florida, talking about the Rays. It was a big win for Snell tonight against the Rangers, 4-0. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Pharrell. How's it going, man?
What's shaking, bro?
Just got done with the homework for the night. Can I get a rum and coke, please?
Get him a rum and coke after he just finished his schoolwork.
So, yeah, I had a couple questions about the Rays. They've won their last four games. They've won 21 out of the last 25 games. I know there's only 12 games left in the season. I've seen crazier things happen before, but how do you like their chances of maybe squeaking in for a wild card? And also, whether they make it in or not, as young and talented as they are, do you see them as contenders for the foreseeable future?
Well, first of all, they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't see how they make up six games in 12. They'd have to win every single game, and then the Yankees and A's would have to lose every single game. The problem with that theory is that the A's, they win just about every night. So that's your problem. But as long as you have Snell and that manager Cash and the players that they have, I mean, the fact that they won 84 games is remarkable. I mean, it is unbelievable. In fact, everyone wants to give it to somebody else, but I give manager of the year to Cash. The job he did with that hack lineup of theirs, the team has no stars on it. None. Literally no one. There's no one on the team that anyone's ever heard of. It's a scrap heap, a bunch of guys. I mean, I don't know what's more amazing. I guess the A's, because they won 90 games with a garbage lineup, to be honest with you. And, I like Chris Davis, and then what else? Nothing, right? So somehow those two teams are Melvin and Cash. But the fact that the Rays, who many believed would finish in dead last place in the East, right? The fact that they have been as good as they've been, and it's so impossible to do anything when the Red Sox and Yankees have won that many games. Like, the Red Sox have broken the record, at least come close to it. I think 113 was the record. They're at 103. They're not going to break it, but The fact is they've already won 103 games. The Yankees won 92, and then the Rays won 84. That's crazy that you could win. If they were, I think O'Neill said it on the Yankee broadcast the other day, any other year right now, they'd be with 2 weeks left in the season, they'd be playing for the division. They would be in a tight division war like, you know, the Rockies and Dodgers are in right now, where the Dodgers are up by half game. Because, look, the Dodgers have 83 wins. The Rockies have 82 wins. The Rays would be playing for the division title right now if it wasn't for Boston and the Yankees' great seasons. I mean, the Yankees, for a couple months there, won every game they played, right? Everybody thought they were going to run away with it and everything, but it was the Red Sox who were better. But the Rays' season has been so remarkable, I would give Cash the MVP, the manager of the year. There you go. It's pretty positive.
It's really close. It's probably Melvin for me, just a little bit over Cash right now.
Right.
I just, because they're going to make it and the Rays aren't.
Yeah, so you'll give it to the guy that gets his team into
the
playoffs.
I always feel that the manager of the year in every sport, it should be manager, coach, whatever of the year. It should go to a team like what the Rays or the A's are doing this year. It should go to the manager or the coach that overachieved the most. That's
what about
I
that guy in St. Louis, Schilt, who took that team from nowhere to the now they're in the wild card right now. If they started tomorrow, the Cardinals would make it.
Yes, when you only manage for half the season and the team was absolutely dead in July, and you end up making the playoffs.
He's in the hunt.
You got to make the playoffs, of course. They've got to get there. Or if not, you got to give it to the guy in Atlanta.
Do you like the teams now? If it was St. Louis, Milwaukee, Yankees, A's, and your wild cards, and then you got Boston, Cleveland, Houston, Atlanta, Cubs, and Dodgers. Do you like those playoffs? To me, that's a loaded playoff.
I'd obviously prefer that Colorado get in ahead of St. Louis in the National League.
Right.
That's just me. But I'm kind of rooting for the Brewers maybe to have a little fun. If they can get in and win that one game, I'd be rooting Brewer. I hope we get that little Brewer-Cub first-round series because that's what it would be if the Brewers can win that game right now.
Right.
Because the Cubs have the best record in the NL. And they've built like a little bit. They've had a nice little back and forth here last couple series that they've played.
You think the Brewers can beat the Cubs?
Yes.
Wow. You're going to take the Brewers over the Cubs.
I'm saying they could.
All right. So I wanted to ask you these NFL questions. Do you believe that the Jaguars now, after beating the Patriots, are you buying them or selling them to win the AFC? Do you think they'll beat the Patriots again in a title game?
No, I do not.
You think the Patriots will beat them in Jacksonville?
Yes.
Because it'll be 70 degrees, 65 degrees in
I mean, that's if
January.
The game is there. I mean, just because they beat them straight up, I mean, New England might still win 12 or 13 games, and Jacksonville might win 10 or 11. So it's not set in stone that game is going to be in Jacksonville if they play in the playoffs.
If they keep winning, it will be.
Well, if they keep winning, it will be, but I don't believe they're going to keep winning. So I think the Patriots are going to, as they always do, finish with the best record in the AFC.
So how many people do you think are idiots that bring up that the demise of the Patriots every year?
It happens
after they
every
win
year
a game.
In September. Every year they lose a game or two. Were they 2-2 last year too? I think they were 2-2 last year.
Yeah, they lose in September.
And then they lose a couple games, and it's, this is the year, man. They're going down this year. The demise of the Patriots. Yeah, sure it is. You want to know when the demise of the Patriots is? When Tom and Bill walk out the door. That's when the demise is. It ain't happening until then.
Do you think Deshaun Watson is overrated?
What did
everyone,
we do?
That everyone said he was the greatest talent.
We never got to this last night because there was so much other stuff going on. But remember we sat here for like weeks, everybody pumping up the Texans?
Right.
All hyped up that Deshaun Watson was coming back after they went, what was it, 3-3 last year
when
the games had started?
Yeah.
And then it was so embarrassing on Sunday. They played a Tennessee team that started Blaine Gabbert, was missing their two best offensive linemen, had injuries all over the place on D, too.
They still kicked their ass.
And they beat them. Like, are you kidding
me? Last-second field goal beat
them.
But
I don't care if Clowney didn't play. Enough with the Texans. I'm so sick of hearing about them.
Do you think he looks, he's missing throws, and he's afraid to run now, and he's
probably came
throwing,
back too quick.
He's throwing picks.
Probably came back too fast.
I thought that bomb to Fuller was a nice bomb, though, to take the lead.
That guy's the only, and that when that guy's in the lineup is usually when they win too, when Fuller plays.
Do you think Pat Mahomes so far has been the MVP of the league?
I mean, he has to be. If you're only if on two games, if you're basing it on two games, it has to be him.
With right? the 10 touchdowns.
Got 10 touchdowns in two games. He's got to be him right
Six
now.
Six in Pittsburgh. Do you believe that the Bengals are for real?
Yes.
And what about the Broncos who beat two bad teams?
I'm not in on the Broncos. I'm in on the Bengals. I'm not in on the Broncos.
They beat the Seahawks and Raiders, the Broncos. But I'm starting to see that the Seahawks suck after watching them last night on television.
I think we're going to look at this. We're going to look in like November, December and see that those two wins weren't very good.
So did you know Brady's receivers now are Gronk, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, James White, Rex Burkhead, and Sony Michel. Do you think that that's decent? You think it's good, decent, or average? Or, you know, fair to Midland? Like,
I think it's – when they get Edelman back in a couple weeks,
they'll be back to normal.
Of course they will, because Edelman does so much for him. He's such a security blanket for him because he knows Edelman is always going to be where he wants him to be. And as long as Gronk's out there too. And, if, like I said, if Gordon – gets in the playbook and knows where he needs to be, he's going to be explosive for them.
The Super Bowl odds now, the current odds are Rams 5-1, Pats 7-1, Jags 8-1, Vikings 9-1, Kansas City and the Packers 12-1, Falcons and Saints are 14-1. Of those teams, Kansas City, the Packers, Falcons, and Saints, are you buying any of them to win the Super Bowl? Because I'm not. Not one of them.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, do you think Pat Mahomes is going to beat Tom Brady or the Jaguars?
No, I do not.
Or the Steelers if they play him again in, let's say, a playoff
Steelers
game.
Got way too many problems right now. We can't put them there.
So, Packers, are you buying that Aaron Rodgers, his leg will hold up or get better?
No, I'm not in on them right now.
Falcons blew the big lead and almost.
Falcons have lost so many guys already for the year.
Right.
Between Jones and Neal. And didn't I see today Jake Matthews too?
Yeah.
Can he go down for them also?
It never ends.
They're losing too many guys.
And the Saints losing to Tampa and then almost losing to the Browns, but that didn't happen. But do you think they're overrated?
I'm not ready to give up on the Saints yet. I still think that they can be there at the end.
Do you believe in the Rams at 5-1 to win the Super Bowl?
I think the Rams, after 2 weeks, have absolutely been the most impressive team in the NFL. Also played two bad teams, just like Denver. The Rams also played two bad teams.
So when we talked earlier about the Hall of Famers, we'll talk about that again. I want to take a couple calls. I want to talk about what you think of these guys that think they should still get salary after they're done playing. Gary in Houston, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, Gary.
I want to say one thing. Number one, Deshaun hasn't played 10 games for the Texans yet.
Right.
He's basically a rookie. He made a mistake. And he's learned from it, I'll bet you, on my life, that he is.
That he is
very
what?
Frustrated. He has been very frustrated by that last play. But I want to say one thing. The game should not have come down to 17 seconds. The game was already lost before that.
Why? They had the lead. I mean, they took the lead. And then before you knew it, it was tied again. Like, they couldn't handle their prosperity. You get the lead on a bomb, and then you let them score again and tie it, and then you let them beat you.
How did they score on a botched special teams play?
So what? What's the difference? It could be a fumble, a pick, a botched special teams play, a four and out, a bomb, a reverse. It could have been 50 things.
Yes, sir. For real. Number one, I love you, man. You're like me. You're straight up front. And that's why I listen to Sports 610. But I want to say one other thing. Give him a chance. Give him a chance to come around.
Well, I have given him a chance. He's been every, you know, I bet on him. I bet on him. That's how much of a chance I get. I bet on him every week, and all I do is lose money.
We're willing to give him a chance. The problem is everybody told us that they were the best team ever. Come on.
They're nothing.
I agree with you. He is basically a rookie. He's played 10 games.
Do you think they can even cover the 6.5 against the Giants?
Well, that's a whole nother can of worms because the Giants, they stink too.
They're terrible.
So I don't know.
I don't think the Texans are that much better than them. If they can barely expect. If they cannot beat the Titans, they're not better than the Giants. They're barely. If you think they're better than the New York Giants, then it's prove it. Like, what is the where is the proof in the pudding? There is no proof. They've not won. They look terrible.
I think both of those teams suck, and that game's got a chance to be awful on Sunday.
How can you suck when you have that much talent on that team? They have so much talent.
Both teams do.
I don't think the Giants have
offensively
talent.
They have some talent.
They have two guys, in my opinion. Two and a half. I'll give you Shepard as a half, and I'll give you OBJ and Barkley. And Barkley's not doing anything. You know why? Because their offensive line sucks. They went out and spent all that money on Solder. They drafted the kid out of UTEP, who they've talked about, Hernandez, like he's the greatest player since they started playing football. And that's nonsense, too. He's getting worked over on that side. And they have absolutely no protection for Eli Manning, and there's absolutely no holes for Barkley to run through. I can't even believe he had a 70-yard touchdown run. You know how he did it? He ran around the outside and down the sideline because he cannot run through the holes or the tackle or the guard because there are no holes. They have no offensive line. They're terrible. But I don't know if the Texans are 6.5 points better than anybody.
I'm tired of hearing about the Texans. I just am. Every year we get spoon-fed all this great stuff about the Texans. They never win.
If you're on hold and you want to talk about Deshaun Watson, I'll get you on the air. Don't give up. Chill out. Crack a cold one. Spark it up, Sparky. Whatever you got to do, chill. We're going to take calls. Jump on a line. The phones are open, 855-212. 4 CBS, Dodgers and Rockies still tied at 2s. A's up 4-1 on the Angels. Those are the games I'm watching on the bench.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.